The status of coal jobs and the coal market depends on which miners you talk to and what kind of coal you ask about.
I think Trump should be patted on the back because we need this coal.
These promises that this fellow's in the White House are doing right now, that's a vote getter, and that's it.
Retired coal miners Noah Counts and Roy Mullins both worked in Virginia mines. Their contrasting views reflect the mixed record in coal employment during Trump's first year. After years of decline, there's been an uptick in coal production and employment, but it's uneven. For example, West Virginia added more than 1,000 coal jobs, but jobs were lost in Kentucky and Ohio. Overall, the three states saw coal add just 745 employees in 2017. Industry analysts say the increase is largely due to temporary conditions in the global market.
The bleeding's largely stopped, as in, you know, we're not seeing the trend continue down, but, you know, from our perspective, it's unlikely it'll return to employment levels of its heyday around 2011.
That's Peter Marsters, a researcher with Rhodium Group, a policy and economic research group. U.S. coal exports to Asia increased in the last year, partly because a cyclone knocked Australian coal out of the market. Marsters says that disruption in global supply and not domestic regulation changes explains the bump in U.S. production.
You know, I think the administration largely overstates its impact on coal markets and its ability to decide their fate.
Marster says most increases have come from mines that produce what's called metallurgical coal, used for making steel. But the vast majority of U.S. coal production is for what's called steam coal, the coal used to generate electricity. And there, the outlook for coal is still grim. The Tennessee Valley Authority's Paradise Power Plant in Kentucky is a prime example of the dominant market trend in electric utilities. In 2017, TVA's two iconic coal-burning generators in Kentucky were retired in favor of natural gas.
Natural gas is more flexible, it's cheaper to operate, and it's also more efficient.
That's TVA Senior Vice President David Sork giving a tour of the new 1,100-megawatt gas facility. Armstrong Coal operated the mines that supplied Paradise. In November, Armstrong became the first coal company bankruptcy of the Trump presidency. Brian Lego is a researcher at West Virginia University. He recently co-authored a report about coal production in the state. He says although there's been a slight spike in demand for coal in the Appalachian region, it's unlikely to continue.
Oftentimes when you see a bust from a boom, it's much worse because the places that experience the boom are ill-equipped to deal with the bust.
Which brings us back to miners Mullins and Count. Mullins says he isn't seeing the evidence of Trump bringing coal jobs back.
And he knew that when he made all these promises to all these people. And I think a lot of people are seeing now that they've been let down.
Count says he has seen new mining equipment, and if the companies are investing in their equipment, then they'll invest in their people.
Trump says it's a last chance for the coal miner, and I really believe that.
One other thing about these retired miners, both have been diagnosed with black lung, a disease that's on the rise in Appalachian coal country. It's a stark reminder that whatever the future holds for coal employment, coal miners will be paying the costs for years to come. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel in Bowling Green, Kentucky.